Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
We continue tonight in our study in the book of Ephesians. The obvious theme, as we have stated so clearly, Paul is writing of the transition from the dispensation of the law to the dispensation of the church. And this man, once so determined to defend the law, struck down on the Damascus Road and said, "What will you have me do, Lord?" He was trained and he began to minister. And one of his big ministries was to go to a jail cell and write. And he is writing from a prison cell. The change from the law, the Jewish system is done, and now we're going into the church age. Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 is doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Chapters 4, 5, and 6, application, application, application. Christianity is not to be a head knowledge, although we are to have head knowledge. God wants us to know. This is not just supposed to be rote behavior and you do things because the pastor said so and that's the way the church did it, my parents did it, so I do it. No, you're to see it in Scripture, understand it, and live it. We have been in chapter 4 where we have application and he tells us to walk worthy. Based upon all that I've told you, walk worthy. Behave yourself properly in the church age. It begins in our own backyard. If every person tended to themselves and truly addressed biblical issues in their life, this world would be a good place. But instead, we have strife and turmoil, sadly, even in the churches. Ephesians chapter 4 began with a heavy emphasis on unity, all the way down through verse 16, and actually it continues on, but primarily in verses 2 to 16. 17 through 24 is right and wrong behavior with renewed thinking. And tonight's study, verses 25 to 32, things to put off and things to put on. You mean in Christianity there's do's and don'ts? Yeah. Yeah. And the Bible states them very clearly. Matter of fact, a lot of what we're going to read tonight almost needs no commentary. It's so straightforward. Let us read our text verses for tonight, Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 25. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." There's that unity issue. "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." A lot in there. A lot to work on. And Paul cites, under the influence, the guidance, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write these things. It is amazing to think that Paul had to write this to believers. And we still need it today. Because the sad truth is, there are still people in the church that have a long way to go. And they need to stop some behavior and put on some behavior. Remember, in our last study, put off certain behavior. Put on certain behavior. But in the middle, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Don't look at the Christian life as a bunch of do's and don'ts. Get your mind renewed. Fall in love with your Heavenly Father, have a relationship with Him. And change is easy. It's when we want our own way. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for members one of another. Two brothers had terrorized a small town for decades. The younger brother died unexpectedly. The surviving brother went to the pastor of the local church. I want you to conduct my brother's funeral, but it's important to me that during this service you tell everyone my brother was a saint. But he was far from that, the minister said. The wealthy brother pulled out his checkbook. Pastor, I'm prepared to give you $100,000 to the church. I'm asking you to publicly state that my brother was a saint. On the day of the funeral, the pastor began his eulogy this way. Everyone here knows that the deceased was a wicked man, a drunk and evil in many ways. He terrorized employees. He cheated on taxes. But as evil and as sinful as this man was, compared to his brother, he was a saint. Be careful what you ask for. Here is Paul addressing lying, speaking. It's amazing in these few verses, starting at verse 25 up through 31, three times he references what comes out of your mouth. I think when God repeats himself, he's trying to get our attention. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Chapter 4, verse 25, put away lying. Verse 25, let no corrupt communication. In verse 31, clamor and evil speaking. He cares what comes out of your mouth and my mouth. Our speech is very, very important. Take a look at Jesus' words in Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. Our words come from within. What you think is what you're going to come out. Be careful what you think. As a man thinketh, so he is. Our thinking must be godly. Remember, correct thinking. Spirituality is your thinking. The spiritual battle is in your brain to do right and wrong. Quote, this precept assumes a preliminary condition, put away lying. This touches the root of the matter. It points to the entire and thorough abandonment and renunciation, not in outward speech only, but in the inmost heart of all falsehood. You put away the thing that is false. All false dealing in your inmost mind and spirit with any person or anything. We must connect this with what goes before. In Ephesians 4:22, put off. It's corrupt. And put away the lusts which are deceitful. Herein is assumed to put away the deceit to which the lust belongs. Hence, we need to get our thinking under control. Put it away. Think good thoughts, and you will say good thoughts. Here it is, put off lying. Goes along with verse 22, which we studied last week. And put on. All right? Put on certain behavior. Be honest with each other. Because unity, which was stressed so heavily in the beginning of this chapter, depends upon honesty. How can you be at peace and unity with somebody who's lying to you? The church, let me say this very clearly, the church is not an earthly organization. Take a look at Ephesians 1:22. Paul already told us, and he hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things, to the church, which is his body. We're not an earthly organization. We ought to have some characteristics of business and social. But first and foremost, it is to worship God and to live godly for Him and do His will. We are His body. And then Paul went on in Ephesians 2:21, let's read there, in whom all the building, that's the people, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. We're a holy temple as we're unified. There is the universal body of believers all around this world and throughout time, and then there are the local churches around the world. We are all fit together. Put off lying and rather put on, speak every man the truth with his neighbor. Put off this and replace it with truth. It's a lot easier to say the truth. You don't have to remember what you said. In verse 26, put off ungodly anger. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Be angry and sin not. There are times that anger is justified. As a matter of fact, there are times if you're not angry, you're in sin. Jesus was angry at the Pharisee hypocrites, and he was angry when the temple was defiled. Consider John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple. I want you to stop for a second. He was not a raging maniac out of control. He saw the situation, and he stepped to the side, possibly sat down somewhere, and he fashioned a scourge. And he took his time. And when he had it, just like he wanted it, they needed to look out. He drove them out, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. But he was under control the whole time. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Well, we obviously don't have the temple. We are the temple today. But we need to be careful what we do with the church and not make it a place of buying and selling. We need to make it a place where God is honored. It is right at times to be angry and take a stand for truth. Be angry, but don't sin in your anger. There was a pastor in Brooklyn, New York, who met hurriedly on his way one day. His lip was set, and there was something strange in his looks. How are you today, doctor? A man greeted him. He waked as from a dream and replied soberly, I am mad. It was a new word for the mild, true-hearted Christian, but he waited, and with a deep, earnest voice went on. I found a widow standing by her goods thrown in the street. She could not pay the month's rent. The landlord turned her out, and one of her children is going to die. And that man is a member of the church. I told her to take her things back in again, and I'm on my way to see him. There's a time to get angry. He was angry. Ungodly anger harms the unity in the body of Christ. And fellowship can be ruined by the tirade of one angry person. Consider Proverbs 22:10. Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. There are some times we have to stand up. You are ruining the unity here. Speaking the truth would resolve most of the problems in the average church. Long ago, I gave up the idea of trying to straighten out all the lies that I hear in Christian circles, reading the commentary here. I found out that I could spend all my time doing that since believers are the members of one body. Speaking the truth is imperative. Christendom drew this ridiculous analogy, but it does illustrate the truth. Let not the eye lie to the foot, nor the foot to the eye. If there be a deep pit and its mouth covered with reeds, shall present to the eye the appearance of solid ground, will not the eye use the foot to ascertain whether it is hollow underneath or whether it is firm and resists? Will the foot tell a lie and not the truth as it is? And what again, if the eye were to spy a serpent or a wild beast, will it lie to the foot? The feet wouldn't deceive the eyes because they are members of the same body. Neither would the eye deceive the feet. So in the church there ought to be honesty and truth among the members. Makes sense, doesn't it? Tell the truth all the time. He goes on and says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Anger in itself is no sin, but if it's not controlled, it can become a ramping, increasing, out of control wrath, rage. This ought not to be. If you're angry, sin not, and make sure you're angry about something that God would be angry about. If anger arises in thy breast, instantly seal up thy lips and let it not go forth, for like a fire when it vents, it will suppress itself. It is good in a fever to have a tender and smooth tongue, but it is better that it be in anger. For if it be rough and distempered, there it is an ill sign, but here it is an ill cause. Angry passion is a fire. Angry words like breath to fan them together. And they are like steel and flint, sending out fire by mutual collision. Control your anger. Anger may be justified, but wrath never is. Out of control behavior. We need to deal with our wrath quickly. Let not the sun go down. So what happens? But Pastor Holler, I got angry after the sun was down. Now what do I do? Well, you're allowed to be a raging maniac until the next evening, right? No, the Bible is teaching a principle here. It's not, okay, wait a minute. There's a principle. Get it under control now. Keep it short-lived. Get it under control. Because if you don't, you're going to say and do things you wish you'd never said and done. You see, in wrath, we give place to the devil. We have yielded ourselves now. We're out of control. We're not walking in the Spirit. We're not walking worthy. And we give a place to the devil because now we've got justified in our minds a cause. Nobody does that to me. And then sometimes we say things, oh, we wish we wouldn't have said. Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Ouch. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If it burn into wrath and bitterness of spirit, oh, see to it that you suppress it speedily. Observe. Though anger in itself is not sinful, yet there is the utmost danger of it becoming so if not carefully watched and speedily suppressed. Therefore, though anger may come into the bosom of a wise man, it rests only in the bosom of fools, neither give place to the devil. Those who persevere in sinful anger and in wrath let the devil into their hearts and suffer him to gain upon them till he bring them to malice, mischievous machinations, and etc. Get control of your anger. Proper behavior in the church age. Ephesians 4:28, we're going to put off stealing. Let him that stole steal no more. There it is. Put off certain behavior. Stop stealing. Number two, put on. Rather, let him labor. Get a job. Are you kidding me? Right? Rather hustle a buck or something. So we have the put off and put on. And Paul had to write this because apparently people were stealing. Christians, I'm going to say what I said earlier on in this message. Don't be shocked about Christians and sin. And don't be gullible. There are Christians that prey upon other Christians. And we get trusting. Well, the man said he was a Christian. The devil will tell you he's a Christian. Be very careful. Don't be gullible. Ladies, don't just let your purse lay around the church. You mean somebody would molest my purse? Absolutely. I've known it to happen. Don't lay your purse around the church. Sorry to have to say that, but you don't know the visitors that come by. We don't know. And maybe somebody's struggling with it. Don't make it a temptation. Believers aren't perfect. They're capable of some pretty disgusting sins. Let us not be too trusting. Stop stealing and get an honorable job. This is at the root issue. This person steals because he only cares for himself and doesn't care how he hurts somebody else. I don't care if you worked very hard for that. I'm going to take it because I want it. Now, he says, don't do that. Rather, go get an honorable job. Get this, working with his hands, the thing which is good. And there's a reason that he may have so that he can give to him that needs. Not only now am I going to stop thinking selfishly, I'm going to work very hard and take some of my income and provide to other people who need. What a life-changing thing that is. It's renewed thinking. The man who once only thought of himself now is to generously give and help others. Quote, apparently some of them continued to practice it even after becoming Christians because Paul literally told them, stop stealing. Working is the best practical antidote to stealing. Furthermore, the person who works hard will have something to share with others who are in need. Isn't it interesting, as we think about the change from the law, which is now no more, it's been put aside and gave way to the church. What was said in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:10, thou shalt not steal? God's standards don't change. Don't do that. Put off and put on. Next, verse 29, again, put off ungodly communication and put on godly communication. Here it is, ready? Put off, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Stop it. Put off, according to the deeds of the flesh. Put off that corrupt communication. And rather, put on that which is good to the use and edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What comes out of our mouth should encourage people, should be wholesome to other people. Not questionable. I perceive this to be very inclusive. Gossip is not to be. Foul language is not to be. Suggestive language, although we may not use the bad words, ought not to be. Offensive humor ought not to be. Let us not live close to the line. Well, I didn't say the word. Why? Why would you want to live close to the line? Get away from the line. Draw nigh unto your God. Let's not see, well, what can I get away with? Is this a bad word, Pastor Holler? If you have to ask, yes. Right? If you have to ask. There's no place for cleaned up curse words in the believer's vocabulary. If it's a curse word in the world's vocabulary, don't just kind of polish it up and say, well, I'll use it, I'm a Christian. Okay? Let's be careful what comes out of our mouth, that people don't have to wonder what we're saying and why are we saying that. Next, verse 30, put off grieving the Holy Spirit. Verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. This dwelling of the Holy Spirit and sealing was unknown in the Old Testament. The Spirit in the Old Testament came and went. But we in the church age, Christ has paid the price. The veil is rent. We are now royal priests and we are chosen people to be peculiar and holy unto God. We are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Live like it. Don't grieve Him. He wants to guide you in all truth, illuminate you in Scripture, which will give you wisdom and daily living. Don't grieve Him. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, no longer is He leading, now He is pleading with us, would you stop it? And then you get the uncomfortable feeling inside as that internal old nature and new nature start to fight. The devil cannot possess us, but the devil can plant thoughts. And the devil will plant a thought, and the Holy Spirit is inside saying, no, 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 do this. And inside, if we let that battle go on, it's awful. Give way and let the Holy Spirit have his way. Yes, the devil will still tempt us. But the more you yield to the Spirit, the less the battle will be per se. You'll understand it. You resist the devil and he will flee. By the way, he'll come back. But resist the devil. Consider the work of the Holy Spirit as he indwells us. John 16:13, the night before the crucifixion, Jesus spoke these words to the disciples. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, and here is Jesus in very, very veiled terms. He is telling the disciples there's coming an incredible change, but he didn't tell them what it was. We have the whole of Scripture and the corrective lens of time. We look back and see he's telling them about the church. Let not your heart be troubled, because the Jewish system is going to come to an end. It's going to blow your mind. But let me tell you what, I'm going away, but another one is coming. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And that indwelling Holy Spirit wants the best for you, for this life and for the life to come, when we're out of this world. And he is going to try to guide and direct, and when we don't listen and we struggle against him, we grieve him. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Did you notice there's a difference between being sealed with the Spirit? That happens without your even knowing it. You trust Christ as your Savior and you're sealed. You don't even know it. Somebody has to tell you that. But then he says, don't be drunk, rather be filled. We now have to make a conscious effort to sing, Lord God, I want all of the Holy Spirit in me to guide me, and I'm not going to withhold any area of my life. This is what it means to be filled. Lord, I'm yours completely. The Holy Spirit is guiding my thinking. On the one end of the scale, what do we have? The person is drunk and their thinking is dulled by the influence of the alcohol. And Paul is saying, no, get away from that. Get over here where your thinking is completely saturated and controlled by the Holy Spirit. This is what walking worthy is, walking in the Spirit. He then says, verse 31, put aside bitterness and evil, put on forgiveness. Let us read, 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, that word means screaming and evil speaking, put away from you with all malice. And rather, put on, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. What a contrast. Put away these things. Put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Put that all away. Rather, put on. Put on. And it's a whole new mindset as we put off. And there's a lot in that simple verse that could be considered. But I think it's pretty straightforward. You get the point. Did you know that God is in the people-changing business? Christianity is not just something we do. It is a very real spiritual aspect of life that cannot be ignored. If you ignore it, it doesn't go away. I don't want to play a game. I'm not religious by nature. None of us are. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he had to send his Son. And the Holy Spirit has to draw sinners. And we have to go out in the highways and byways and share. And the heavens declare the glory. Oh, God is reaching out to sinners. Would you look? Would you see? Would you trust Christ as your Savior? They're children of wrath, as we once were until we were saved. And then we were saved by the grace of God apart from works, lest any man should boast. It's not what you and I do, it's what no man does that gets us to heaven. It's the work of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago on the cross. I paid your sin debt, paid in full. If you will only trust my work of redemption done 2,000 years ago, I will give you eternal life. And many, I'm sure, have trusted Christ. And then Once you've trusted Christ, now you're a Christian. Walk worthy. Now is the Christian growth. He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Look at Romans 8:29. What's the goal? For whom He, God, did foreknow, He, God, did also predestinate. He had a plan. If you get saved, this is what I want you to do. Be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus. To become Christ-like. This is the whole goal of the Christian life. Get saved and be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. This is what He wants. This is the worthy walk. Don't grieve the Spirit. Put off this behavior. Put on this behavior. It's very broad concepts, but very real concepts that we need to apply ourselves to change. It is well that every person starts in his own life and lets his light shine there. We have the responsibility to apply ourselves to spiritual change. Pastor Holler, how does it work? Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And you have a lifetime of learning, so just brace yourself. You're not going to get it in 1 hour sitting. It's a lifetime. But as you apply yourself and you let the Holy Spirit lead, allow Himself and apply yourself to change. We just read some very specific things tonight where you ought to change. I want you to see this. The problem is, too many times people say, I don't feel like it. If you wait for your feelings, you'll never do it. Rather, you do it. Watch. Let's read it in the Proverbs. Proverbs 16:3. Here's what you do. You want to change? Commit thy works unto the Lord. Do something, and you know what happens? Thy thoughts will follow. Thy thoughts shall be established. I don't feel like getting off of the couch and putting away the ice cream and taking a walk around the block. But if you will apply yourself to put away the ice cream, put on your gym shoes and walk around the block, you feel better. And it's, you know what? That was okay. And so then you're more apt to do it tomorrow. And you keep doing it the next day and the next day. And you start saying, you know what? I feel better. I don't feel like going to church. Tough. Get up and go to church. And watch what God does. God gives you that desire. That was okay. I made friends. I learned something about the Bible. I had a burden when I came, and you know it was just lifted when I was there among God's people, and we were singing praises, and we were listening to His Word. Your thoughts were changed. But you have to do something. Too many people wait for some magical thing to happen. The proverb says, commit thy works unto the Lord, even if you don't feel like it, because guess what will happen? Thy thoughts will be established. Change. What did Paul say? Put off certain behavior, renew your thinking, and put on new behavior. Do something. Don't be a lazy Christian. Don't let sloppy thinking direct your behavior. Rather, the first three chapters of Proverbs are doctrine. That ought to give us thrilling thoughts. And then we have specific things. Well, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this. And watch God bless. God is serious about spirituality. He did not send His Son to die so that we can just take for granted all His blessings. No, His Son paid our sin debt. And He said, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. But what a glorious thing to belong to the Heavenly Father. He leads us into green pastures.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.